reach for the sky, boy.
Rolex first.
Woo!
Diamond ring first.
Woo!
Hit dealing.
Woo!
Wheeling dealing.
Woo!
Limousine riding.
Woo!
Jet flying.
Woo!
Stuck in the gun.
Woo!
And I'm having a hard time.
Holy Hurricane Pound.
I give you two claps and a Ric Flair.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Doing the Favor podcast. I'm your host, Eric Brown. You can follow me on Twitter at EricBrown740, but always follow the show on Twitter and Instagram by searching at Doing the Favor. With me, as always, he's the sexual intellectual, Double H, the Husky heartthrob, leader of the Husky Army. And ladies and gentlemen, he will be in Circleville next weekend, March 14th, to service all your needs, my man, Barry Frost. Barry, how you doing, homie?
Doing well, preparing. I'm in training. I mean, I'm knocking out 2-3 a day in preparation for all the single ladies in Circleville, Ohio.
What exactly are you knocking out? My God.
Knocking these balls out, son. Fucking training to take the abuse. These women want me at the fucking Holiday Inn. You know, the Motel 6 is in the area.
I'm sure there's more Motel 6s in Circleville. I don't know if you're going to get like a nice Marriott down there.
That's a possibility, but listen, I've slept in worse.
Just want to let everybody know, go to our pinned tweet on Twitter, enter the Cassius Ono giveaway. We'll be announcing the winner of that next week on the Figs and Merch show. This is kind of a spontaneous watch-along episode we're doing tonight. So sometimes on Saturday night, as you guys know, me and Barry will get together. I'll have some wine. We'll watch these shows, and we'll kind of just hit 3-2-1 play and, you know, talk over it, basically. You guys hit mute when you watch. This week, we've always done a lot of WCW stuff. We're going to kind of switch it up a little bit. We're going to do a Monday Night Raw from March 13th, 1995. Barry, are you watching during this era?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I was big because... You know, this is leading up to LT and Bam Bam Bigelow. I mean, the Royal Rumble where Bam Bam pushed him and got everything kicked off. I mean, this is right up my alley.
I think I was kind of in and out here. I was, what was I? Sophomore in high, freshman high school. So might have just been checking in. I might have watched this episode because usually I would check in the build up to WrestleMania. You know, I was a Shawn Michaels fan. So, and obviously, Psycho Sid, I think, is around during this time, too. Yeah. So, I was into Psycho Sid. So, yeah, this is a fun time for me. Not too into this era, but, you know, it's fun to go back and watch.
Well, and that's why we chose it, is to kind of maybe see some things that we forgot, or, you know, some things that maybe we missed the first time we saw it.
Good way for us to mix up something. Man, we're just so WCW heavy, but I just fucking love that stuff now as an adult. But yeah, I'm ready to go back and watch. So go to March 13th, 1995. Get it on your WWE network. Get it queued up to all zeros. You guys got to pause right now and do that. Go ahead and do it. But yeah, Barry, we're just going to do a simple 3-2-1 play. And when I say play, everyone hit play. So, all right, 3-2-1 play. Looks like we got Bret Hart versus Jerry Lawler tonight. This is kind of a fun feud. They go back and forth right here, right around the time Bret won the King of the Ring. So, you know, obviously Lawler doesn't take too kindly to that. Bear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, this is actually where, if you recall, as they're doing this with McMahon, he was down in Memphis. They were doing the Mr. McMahon character. They were doing trial runs in like 94, 95 for that character. And they would play it up on, so people would watch Raw. And then Vince would send guys down to Memphis for Monday night at the Mid-South Coliseum.
Didn't Vince appear at Memphis before, like as like a Terry Funk show or something like that?
No, Vince actually did appear, but it was for the title. They had Owen down there. They had Brett. Macho Man was down there. I mean, they had a huge deal going. I mean, it lasted a few months. It was actually really, really cool. And awesome. Giant Gonzalez was down there.
Man, these old school graphics. 3-2-1 kid here and there with the smoking guns.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett. This is awesome. Now, to me, Jeff Jarrett was like straight heel. I did not like Jeff Jarrett at all, but as an adult, I can appreciate that. He was doing good heel shit over the top with the roadie at the time.
Yeah, Road Dog out there. I loved that intro. That was awesome. Was that the new era?
Mm-hmm. New generation?
Yeah, the new generation, yeah. From the Stockton Memorial Auditorium, California.
You got the Fink in the middle of the ring spinning. Look at that knee. That is so 90s right there.
Oh, yeah. And look at this. That's Rikishi and Barbarian.
The head shrinker's coming out here. Rikishi, a lot smaller version than what we would grow to remember him as.
Yeah, his ass wasn't as massive.
No.
In 95.
Motherfucker could move too, man.
Oh, yeah.
This is a fun tag team.
Yeah, and the Barbarian at this time? Jesus. Fucking just ridiculous. He's got the braids in.
No drug test there.
No, not at all. look at Dutch. There they come, the Blue Brothers, a.k.a. the Bruise Brothers, a.k.a. the Harris Twins. Was that Nelly? A little kid with a Band-Aid
under his eye? Ahead of his time, man. Young Nelly.
Right.
These boys are huge.
Yeah, they...
There's a lot of dude in that ring right now, man.
Yeah, and two legit bad fucking dudes, too, from all accounts.
When did Dutch stop making towns?
Shortly after this.
Here we go.
There is James E. You saw him?
I know next week in Circleville, you're very excited to meet Jim Cornette. You've told me to stay away from you. If you get underneath the learning tree of Jim Cornette. Now, we know that he's a big, loud voice these days, and he has a lot of, you know, you either love him or you hate him kind of deal, right? Now, do you push all that aside, or, I mean, what's your take on all that?
Listen, if nobody's over there, and see, most of these fans will be like, oh, tell me about, you know, fucking Bob Spark Plug Holly and all this shit. I'm going to say, tell me about Ron Wright. Tell me about Whitey Caldwell. And Jim's going to realize he's got a true fucking historian. And we're going to fucking shoot. We ain't talking fucking politics. I could give two fucks. Tell me about wrestling and what I want to know. And we can talk all night long. I'll buy him supper. I will fucking harass him as long as he'll let me.
So what do you think about him having all these hot takes on, like, the current day wrestling, though?
I could care less. I am interested in old stories that man was there for. He was there for Kaufman and Lawler.
Yeah.
That's what I want to fucking hear about.
That's fair.
I don't care about none of this shit now.
I think he's working.
Yeah, he can be old, crazy, fucking senile. As long as he can remember the old days and what I want to fucking know about, I am super fucking jacked.
If you hear some, like, rumbling going on, some snorting, that's Axel. He's over here.
He makes an appearance every watch-along.
He loves being part of the watch-alongs, man.
Absolutely. And we would have it no other way. Look at Barbarian no-selling the boot. Big fucking clothesline right there, though.
He's still working good, too, man. Yeah, this is like the beginnings of that big, giant Rikishi ass.
Yeah.
By the way.
Look at referee Tim White here. In shape. In shape, fucking Tim White.
Andre's old handler.
Absolutely.
That motherfucker's got some stories.
I was going to say, I bet he's got some fucking crazy fucking stories.
Got the Basham brothers here. Looking exactly alike.
Oh. Yeah, they were big Bruiser Brody type fucking dudes.
Man, you can tell, like, Vince McMahon and whoever, all these guys in the office, they just had an idea of, like, what a wrestling character looked like. A lot of that came from the 80s. Like you said, Bruiser Brody, like, they moved the same. They probably looked at him like, you look like Bruiser Brody. And here they are working and looking like him.
As the Blue Brothers, you know.
Right.
Jacob and Eli.
Probably shortchanged them a little bit. Look like they can really work.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They were in ECW too for a little while,
right?
And I guess beat the hell out of the Sandman one night. He caned the one in the head after he had already had a concussion, and they, I guess, got him outside and just absolutely fucking murked him. And New Jack saved him. New Jack saved the Sandman. He was the peacekeeper.
There's so many crazy ECW stories. I hear, like, that's a new one. You hear that new shit all the time, just like wild indie backyard shit, but they were making, you know, they were becoming big time. They were making waves despite all that.
Oh yeah, reminds me of Doing the Favor podcast.
I'm gonna control myself next Saturday. Our new marketing manager really got on my ass about that.
Yeah, and if yins don't know, we had our first conference call meeting today, where we were both humbled.
Yeah, Rachel's taking over the marketing, the designs, all that stuff. So it's next. It's out of control. But yeah, she sat us both down for a conference call and basically told us how it's going to be.
Yeah, there was no, like, you can have an input here. I mean, you could have some input, but then some shit was like, this is how it's going
to
be.
We thought we were done with the call, and she goes, "No, I need you guys to give me a direct answer right now of what to do." And we're like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, so. And we're the, I was saying earlier before we went on there, like, we're the two most unprofessional people, and fucking, yeah, now we are professional.
We're pros now, professionals now.
Absolutely.
We got a marketing manager.
I don't see why not. Look at Barb here. Barb is, he's selling his ass off. You know what I mean?
Well, he's there for a reason.
Yeah, are they going over though? I actually, this is the best thing about this, is I don't know who the fuck's going over.
Yeah, I don't. It's not like I'm regularly up on this and watched this episode recently. I don't know what's going to happen here. This is new for me.
Yeah, because they're both like mid-card teams at this point. So, hell.
And this is still back, like, when it was cool to me that, like, you know, I wasn't just watching jobber matches on TV.
Oh. Big power, that
was like, for me, that was like the really cool thing about Raw. Being a WWF fan at this time, you know, like, I'm used to watching Superstars and Main Event. You didn't get a whole lot of, like, regular matches, you know?
Well, yeah, you couldn't get them.
Because you had to get the pay-per-view.
Yeah, you had to get the pay-per-view, or you had to buy a ticket, come to the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at the quiche.
Look at that. Hitting moves. Hitting dance moves. Oh.
I mean, he's
but the head, thumb. The head's hard. You can't work the head.
He's throwing that Savat kick. Oh.
That's the thing. Samoans have hard heads. Vince McMahon taught us all that.
Yeah. I got a feeling this could be a double DQ or double count out.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, here it is. Fighting to the back. Yeah.
Now they got real heat.
Dusty finish.
Now a grudge match has to happen eventually, right?
Yeah. Tim White he lost control of this match.
But he's in shape. He looks good, healthy.
Yeah, right there. Impressed. He definitely does. Look at Vince with the fucking Raw polo. Logo on the neck.
Turtleneck. The yeah. mock turtleneck with the WWF Raw logo. And what would you call that? Aqua?
Yeah. Aqua blue.
And Jim Cornette's suit does not match at all. I don't know what's going on here with the green suit jacket and the blue shirt and the yellow tie. That's terrible.
Uh-oh. There he is.
The greatest, LT.
The greatest defensive football player of all times. And it's not even debatable.
The man had a house with just porn playing on all the big screen TVs in the house and bowls of cocaine in each room and just naked women everywhere.
Listen, I'm not a Bill Belichick fan, but when he said, no disrespect to what's-his-face from the Bears, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor here, that was it. Look at Carl Banks. Repping Cleveland here. Former Giants.
Cleveland Brown, great. Carl Banks out here. He followed Bill Belichick from the Giants to the Browns. Chris yeah, Spielman. So did Pepper Johnson. Yeah, Chris Spielman, Ohio player from Massillon, Ohio. Ohio State Buckeye. Yeah, man. Ohio's well represented here. Richie as usual. Jackson,
Ken Norton Jr., Reggie White, Steve Mongo McMichael.
Reggie White, to me, was, like, very undersold in this. Looking at Michael in the Packers uniform.
Right. There he is. Look at him.
Obviously, you know, Mongo, big WCW run. What do you think about Mongo in wrestling?
Absolutely terrible.
You're saying about Mongo as a horseman?
Absolutely terrible.
Even worse, right?
Yeah, yeah. Not a fan.
Said his wives were on scholarship.
Hey, if you got money, hit them off.
Still can't get over Cornette's suit here.
Listen, I hope James E. comes in a red suit and something. Me and James E.'s going to fucking talk.
Well, this is 1995, different times.
Look at this crew. Bam Bam, Tatanka, King Kong Bundy, and Kama, who was booted out of fucking Circleville.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know. Rumor has it he disrespected the legendary Terry Funk, and old Dylan Hines booted him.
Well, that's, I don't know why you disrespect Terry Funk, but, you know, I've never been in a locker room with these guys.
Yep, me either.
Bundy.
King Kong Bundy. And Bam Bam, rest
in peace. Head looks like a thumb.
Rest in peace to both of them.
All right, Barry, why don't you give me a time cue?
All righty. We're setting at 14 minutes and 45 seconds.
Perfect. I'm right there with you. WCW sucks sign back there.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
Look at that. Wow. WCW wasn't really. Well, yeah, they had. Did they have. When did Hogan join?
94. So, yeah, he was there. The Big Cat.
Big Cat, Ernie Ladd. Criminally underrated in wrestling history.
And this is a little tidbit here. The most publicized African-American athlete the year before Ali won the title.
I mean, working heel in the South? Whew.
I'm just telling you.
He's man was playing with fire every night.
Legend.
That's awesome. I feel bad that, like, we talk about, like, fantasy figures on our podcast. We've never mentioned Ernie Ladd.
The Big Cat, yeah. Purple People Eaters.
That would be great. Is he an NFL Hall of Famer?
No.
Just on that crazy, talented defensive line?
Yeah. He was a backup, I think.
Well, yeah, you had Alan Page out there, Hall of Famer, Congressman.
Yeah, there. That defense was loaded. Look, I mean, Vince doesn't know what the hell's going on.
So they must have done a pre-tape here before the show started.
Oh, yeah. And
it's hard to talk about what's seeing here because we don't hear what the fuck they're saying.
Yeah, we just see the big cat Ernie Ladd setting your ass under the learning tree.
Vince knows to shut up when he sits down in front of Ernie Ladd.
Bill Watts is right-hand man in Mid-South.
Mid-South. I was watching a little Mid-South earlier this week.
Nice. He
watched a little Dingo Warrior down there, world class.
Yeah, he inducted JYD into the Hall of Fame. And JYD's daughter.
Who did? Ernie Ladd?
Yep.
I'm really upset I didn't get that JYD retro.
Right? That's a nice
That was sad for me. You know, I was on order all through.
You'll know this, but I actually have a Polaroid of me and JYD in the new Boston Walmart. $10. Autographed.
Did you do a meet and greet there?
Yeah.
At the new Boston Walmart?
Absolutely.
My God.
That's taking it back. So
where were they working at?
I'm sure Portsmouth. Uh-oh. J-E-double-F. J-A-double-R-E, double T, with the white strap Intercontinental title. There's Road Dogg.
Jesse this is James. Great. All, everything about this is fucking great.
I mean, listen, if Cody Baker is willing to carry a towel around and push people out of our way, I can act like an arrogant asshole in Circleville.
I cannot believe. Okay, just in a circle. I was going to say, I can't believe you disrespected the cleaner like that.
No, I was just saying in Circleville, because cleaner ain't going to be there.
Cody would do that. Yeah, absolutely.
And look at Barry Horowitz. Fucking out here in these streets.
Jobber to the stars, getting himself into a little bit of a program here.
Hey, I'm all about it.
Good for him, man.
Remember when he got the big wins over Chris Candido as Skip? Yeah, legitimized him a little bit. Fucking rest in peace, Chris Candido.
Talking to Jeff Toon out there in California, and he can't get fucking toilet paper, water, hand sanitizer, nothing.
Good. As long as Scott's taken care of, you know.
Oh man, because he just texted me, he's talking about it. Yeah. He's gonna love that.
Tell his ass. As long as Scott's taken care of. Trust me.
I'm gonna text him that right now.
Yeah. Trust me, Jeff. Trust me. I mean, Barry Horowitz with the perm, you know? I think Road Law, look at that. Nice veteran move. Fucking Jeff's dad, Jerry. He'd have been proud of that.
I thought Road Dog was awesome here.
Oh, that's what I mean. I need Cody Baker to come in a black sweatshirt and a bandana and black sunglasses and just fucking shield us from everyone.
And you could tell he was still finding the character at this point because he was kind of dressed like, you know, a little bit of more of a hip hop guy at this time.
Yeah, well, Be My Baby Tonight. That was his hit single.
Right. And Jeff Jarrett's out there singing country music.
Right.
I need this Jeff Jarrett elite.
Steve Armstrong, one of the young pistols there, the Southern Boys. That's why him and Tracy Smothers, that's why that team broke up, is because I think Steve wanted his music rights or something. He was a singer and he sung some shit and they wouldn't give him his music rights. So he left. So the Armstrongs got pipes. They got vocals.
I just told Jeff, and Jeff said, tell him I'm going to send him a care. Tell him I was going to send him a care package, which he will hear tomorrow. Keyword B, was.
Hey, you know, trust me, Jeff. Trust me.
You're like the only person in the world that has heat with Jeff Toon. Fake heat, guys. It's a work.
Yeah, it's a work, but, well, you know, as long as Scott's all right, you know, we're good.
Scott's got toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and Jaeger to get him through.
And listen, if he doesn't, I will send him a care package, you know?
I know there's plenty of hand sanitizer up there in Wisconsin. Those hillbillies don't use hand sanitizer.
Absolutely not. Shit, they're working on the farm, eating. That's why that coronavirus don't stand a chance. These old boys out here are eating cow shit.
That's what I'm saying. Coronavirus ain't got nothing on heart disease up there in fucking Wisconsin.
We're tempered in raw shit.
This match is a little bit awkward.
It's taking a long fucking time.
It's taking a long time and nothing's really coming out of it.
Now, let me throw
chemistry here.
Let me throw this in there. There was the Bill Venus rolling hammerlock.
Bill Venus. 18-year veteran. I'm really upset with Big Underscore Bane. He messed up another call-in show.
He does that all the time. All the fucking time.
I don't know why Big Underscore Bane is trying to sabotage him.
He owes Bill Venus. He owes him, I guess, like a small fortune. I paid Bill a little money today just to keep him from going over beating the hell out of Big Underscore Bane.
It's ridiculous, man. I just want Bill Venus, open invite on our show anytime you want, brother. You can have GBM's time.
Yeah, he actually had on a bowling glove. He was going to fucking cold cock Big Underscore Bane with the bowling glove.
We have a little announcement regarding Big Underscore Bane, though, in all seriousness, Barry. Why don't you go ahead and say that?
Yeah, Big Underscore Bane going to hook us up with the new outro. So be on the lookout for that on next week's Doing the Favor. We'll have a new outro. So big shout out to Big Underscore Bane. And it's a banger. It's a fucking banger.
It's an absolute banger. Is that it?
No, well, Eric, when you got the email, because I had taken the initiative and instigated us to get this outro, and I kind of kept it under wraps.
I didn't know about it.
And then I just said, what's your email? And I sent it to him. And Eric woke up the whole house so they'd hear it.
Well, I woke up Rachel.
The whole house.
She was impressed for being dead asleep and normally not being impressed with me. What's happening here? Oh my God, the Slim Jim commercials.
What diesel?
Look how low quality these things are. Shit.
Macho Man left them.
That's all the better they could do on that commercial?
That's it.
Golly, who produced that shit?
Oh, look at this.
That's even bad for 1995.
We're having battle royals on superstars.
I guess so.
Look at the athleticism of the king. Holding one foot up.
He said, everybody be quiet.
Look at referee Danny Davis. Of WrestleMania 3 fame, Ohio Valley Wrestling fame.
And now of current WrestleMania Series Elite Build-A-Figure Danny Davis fame.
Absolutely.
Such a smart thing. Just kick the other foot. You know what I mean? He could have done anything right there, but just the good worker, kick the foot that's good. That's fantastic.
Brett with the Hitman, the youth hockey team up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Named after him.
Always repping that team back then. Brett and Lawler were doing good work back then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but I'll take 97 Hill Brett over 95 Face Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. I have gone back and watched a little bit. I don't know if I've seen this match. Maybe, but I have gone back and watched some of their stuff. Pretty good. Brett talks about it in his book.
Now, let me ask you this about WrestleMania 11, because the WrestleMania report's coming up. Did you have Jenny McCarthy, or did you have Pam Anderson?
Pam Anderson.
That was your banger? I got you.
Yeah. That was, yeah, quick. No, I mean, I'm not like, you know, Jenny McCarthy, obviously banger. But
right.
To me, back in the day, 14, almost 15-year-old Eric, probably a bigger Pam Anderson fan.
Yeah, well, I'll just tell you, you know, a lot of seed sacrifices to Baywatch. Back in the 90s.
Back in the 90s, pre-Pornhub.
Right.
You gotta get that.
Had dial-up internet. I couldn't deal with the lagging. People would always call the house, knock me offline. Mid-stroke.
Wasn't that a bitch?
Mid-stroke, you know.
Ain't nothing worse than fucking, you know, on the internet, and your aunt calls for, you know, your aunt calls to talk to your mom.
Right.
Like, this is grandma calls. Todd Pettengill. That's a fire haircut, though, by the way.
Absolutely. Party in the front, fucking party in the back.
No, business in the front, party in the back. LT on the banner here.
In a business suit, you know.
High as shit.
And headlined. He's the headline. Look at this.
Bam Bam. We've said this before. One of the more underrated workers ever, right?
Then he carried LT to a decent, watchable match.
I mean, one of the most agile super heavyweights ever.
Yeah, his shit in Japan is absolutely ridiculous. Him and Vader as a team were absolutely ridiculous.
Head tats. I mean, this is that was a wild look for the 90s at his time. Another guy, he was ahead of his time, man.
Had it in the 80s, trained by pretty boy Larry Sharp. Out there, was it the Monster Factory or some shit?
Back in the day when probably everybody was telling him to work a certain way, right?
Yeah.
You're a big man, you're a monster, don't leave your feet, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, I'm athletic, I can do wild shit, let's do wild shit, I can do crazy visuals. And to me, he was ahead of his time. Probably why he never really, like, well, he's, you know, wanted it his way a little bit. You know, you hear stories about that. He wasn't going to take no shit.
Now look at Salt and Pepper. Salt and Pepper, they could have got it back in the day.
Yeah.
They could have pushed it real good over here. You know?
Marketing manager's going to be very displeased with you.
Probably so. I'll have a strongly worded email.
Sean was sitting in the corner against Diesel. Diesel talked about how he knew Sean was going to try to blow him up.
And he was.
Diesel also talked about how he had the wife with him for this pay-per-view, which added like another layer of stress for him. They always say, they'll tell the wrestlers, don't bring your wives around. But, you know, I guess the McMahons invited her, want to make it a family thing. Him being the champion, blah, 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 blah.
Jesus.
So he talked about there's a lot. He's talked about, I've seen a interview. He talked a lot about this. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, look at Pam Anderson out here.
You're talking about 1995 Pam Anderson. My goodness.
Too bad.
That's timeless right there.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if HBK.
Am I out of line? And I'm going to catch some flack. Pam Anderson was the 1990s Marilyn Monroe.
I agree with that. I think she was.
I'm going to catch some heat. But talking about sexual appeal, Marilyn Monroe for her time to Pam Anderson for her time, for my money, it's a good comparison.
I agree.
Undertaker against Bundy.
The I Quit match, Bret Hart and Bob Backlund.
My guy, Bob Backlund.
Mister.
We got that figures. I got two of them.
Yeah. Mr.
And that figure was based during this time, by the way.
Yeah, his comeback run.
Mm-hmm. With the Winged Eagle Championship. That's a dope. I found that figure also at Marshall's for $10. So I got two. I got one loose.
Look at Razor. Razor and Jeff Jarrett.
Look at me and look at Razor. Look at Jeff Jarrett. Yeah. Goddamn two J's on his fucking hat. Those light up glasses. That fucking jacket. My God.
Billy and Bart. Smoking guns. Owen and a mystery partner.
Billy Gunn. Whew, he's had a career.
Absolutely. And then you got Bart Gunn knocking out fucking everybody except Butterbean.
Stone Cold called Billy Gunn the best wheel man.
Oh. Oh, look at Mabel. It's a false finish.
Got this figure.
Yep. Both of them.
Well, during this time. Actually, I don't have both of them.
I got both of them.
You got both of them?
I do.
I never got the regular Mabel loose. I passed on it. I don't know why I did. Just didn't think I needed two Mabels.
Well, I balled up.
I got the Chase, though. Billy Gunn had an awesome mullet.
Yeah, and this is, I think, pre-steroids, too, for Billy. He's much thinner. I mean, we got
built, Mabel. Good size, but I know what you mean. He got massive.
Yeah, Mabel, Mo, and Oscar.
That's the worst DDT ever. Yeah, that was bad. Todd Pettengill. Now, what was this segment called?
This is WrestleMania.
WrestleMania Report.
Yeah.
All right. This has gone on for a long time.
Yeah, this is 10 fucking minutes here.
And it would be nice to have a match.
Yeah, Todd will not shut up.
But this is what it was back then. You know, you didn't get a whole lot of matches. It was a lot of promoting the pay-per-views. There still had like superstar Saturday Night Main Event like mindset. You know what I mean? We use your TVs to promote the pay-per-views. That's where the money was in the house shows.
Yeah, he had to tell you, like, call your cable and satellite provider. Yeah. Lex Luger, Bulldog against Eli and Jacob Blue.
Whew. That team on the left. No drug test there.
Now, Luger leaves shortly to appear on the first Nitro.
Right, well, there definitely was no drug test there.
No. It ain't happening.
What'd you think about that at the time? I always thought that jump... Maybe I'm underestimating Luger. At the time, I remember it. As an adult, obviously, to me, it's overrated. I just didn't see it.
Well, it was one of the first, Luger coming out at the Mall of America. Fuck yeah. I mean, Luger's always had $1 million body. And it was a big star player.
I think Vince, for me, it was just a moment of one guy leaving WWF and going to WCW. To start the show. Then that was obviously the big moment. But Luger to me was underwhelming. I was like, oh, great. So? I feel like a bigger name would have made more of an impact. So maybe what I'm getting at here.
Oh, look at this. The King.
Why is she with him?
I see. That's a great question. Bull Nakano coming out with the King, Jerry Lawler.
The iconic. You know, I saw on Twitter Thunder Rosa ask, who's your Mount Rushmore of women's wrestling, right? And so people were having some input, so I want to throw mine in there. She got consideration.
Yeah, she's a beast. She was amazing.
Ended up going Charlotte Flair, Moolah, Trish Stratus, and Medusa.
Yeah, see, Asia Kong would have to be in there for me. She's a fucking animal.
Who would she replace? I mean, go ahead and name your Mount Rushmore of women's wrestling.
I mean, I don't know who I'd put Asia Kong. I would put Charlotte in there. I would put Medusa and probably Sherry Martel.
Sherry Martel, again, was in that conversation. This match is great. I don't want to talk over it too much. But Sherry Martel, to me, historically, is remembered more for her stuff as a manager. which isn't a knock on her wrestling. I just think that we just didn't get to see enough of it, like, on a mainstream level.
She was in the AWA, I mean.
Right. I'm just saying, but her impact, if you ask anybody, like, the Sherry Martel figure I have, it's not of a Sherry Martel wrestler. It's Sherry Martel, you know.
Right.
So that's and that's WWF, the way they promote it, and them being the biggest company in the world and things like that. This guy's outside of the ring. Two guys with great working punches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two of the greatest probably working punches ever.
Well, Bobby Eaton's right hand. Bobby Eaton's
I mean,
right
I'm just
hand.
Saying that's the two best. You know what I mean? Just two. They're in that conversation of, like, you know, if you were to do like a top 10 list, they might get in there.
Oh, yeah.
God,
oh,
damn. Very quick to defend shit. You're always so jumpy with this stuff.
Lawler also
not
has...
Not selling that at all.
Absolutely not. Lawler has some of the best punches ever. Maybe the best.
Sometimes I hear a debate, and Jerry Lawler even says this sometimes, that he wasn't the best actual, like, technician. But to me, like, his selling and his imagination and his punches and the storytelling inside the match overcame all that.
Oh, yeah. Look at Bob Backlund.
Dead serious.
Yeah, but what we saw it in Chicago. Then he worked Mance Warner and fucking didn't take a damn bump, I don't think. And the crowd was into the match the whole time. He's got phenomenal ring psychology.
70 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit looked good, too. Like, I was thinking to myself, no way I can move like that when I was 70. Then I smashed another Corona.
Yeah, off the hook wrestling and at Shawnee State University. Jerry Lawler headlined it.
I remember when he came down there.
Yeah, I was there. I won a PlayStation 2 that night. That was a big raffle. And I fucking won it. $10.
I still don't understand why Bull Nakano is out there.
Yeah, I don't. Well, if we had audio, we'd maybe understand.
Right. Sorry, guys, if you guys don't know why Bull Nakano is out there.
Look at that. There's Shinzaki. Hakushi, for those that didn't know.
How many people do you think's there? That's a small arena.
Yeah, that's Stockton Memorial Auditorium. They probably hold 5,000.
Brett just working.
I mean, well, that's what he did, you know?
Of course, Lawler taking advantage. Sneak attack from behind. Looks like a big high school gym is what they're working on, a small college gym. Tell by the basketball. They didn't pull up. They just put mats over it. Bet the basketball coaches were stoked.
They got free tickets. They don't care.
This is pretty cool. I like this.
No, is he going for a bulldog? And he hits it. Fucking Dustin Rhodes would be jealous.
CM Punk would be jealous.
No doubt. Look at the Burger King hats.
Those are great. My buddy TJ wore one of those and put cheeseburger logos on it when we went to a Ring of Honor show.
Oh, my.
Big cheeseburger fan.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Ain't nothing wrong with it at all. I'll tell you what, that NXT show I went to with Cody Baker the other night, fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How was that?
It was really good. Matt Riddle was probably the most fan-friendly, interactive guy I've seen in a long time, man. Almost over the top. Almost over the top that Pete Dunne looks at him like, what the fuck?
Is it because he's so high?
He jumped in the... Somebody held up a sign that said, my name is Matt Riddle, too. And he jumped the barrier and went in the fans and took a selfie with the dude.
Did you get a selfie?
No, I didn't. I did get two fist bumps, though.
Okay.
I was second row, and I was getting fist... Recent, you know, there was two young ladies in front of me, and I would just throw my arm between them and get the fist bump. I was drinking White Claws and whiskey.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with
it. I was having a nice time. I Ubered down there, Ubered back. It was great. Met up with Cody Baker. He brought me an Elite 71 Nikki Bella. So I appreciate that. Yeah, man, it was a good time. Keith Lee is super fucking over. Look at these punches. Bulldog of his own.
Oh, now we're getting into the regular Hitman repertoire, which everybody knows. The Russian leg sweep.
The routine.
Yep.
This is peak Brett, by the way.
Oh, look at this.
Physically.
Look at this. Bull Nakano pulls.
That's why she's there.
Yeah. Oh, and the big boot misses. Lawler sells it. Oh, she falls. She's cowarding away.
No, I say Keith Lee is super over. Santana Garrett did a job.
Oh, look at this. The King going to win by count out. Referee Earl Hebner.
Can't see her.
He says, it's over. His son.
Never even thought for 1 second why it's not, why is Brett not getting in the ring.
Right.
Earl just calls it like he sees it. Good work by Bull Nakano. Good work by Lawler having a plan. Yeah, good storytelling.
Oh, look at Shinzaki. Hakushi in WWF, sorry. How does Brett get Pearl Harbored here?
Oh. Low-hanging fruit, Barry.
That's right.
I was a big Bret Hart fan during this time. I wasn't watching a ton, but anything Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, I was all over it.
Well, there's a big win. Did the favor for the King, but would not lay down and get pinned. He got counted out.
You know, got to protect Bret.
Bret screwed Bret.
Even then, WWE-style booking, I mean, it's, a lot of this stuff's fairly predictable. It's just how they're going to do it. Brett's going to lose, but he's not really going to lose. You know what I mean? People are always going to be protected. 50-50 booking. So it's, you know, some things never change.
Just pure shit.
Look at Barry yawning, just tired of doing the podcast tonight.
No, I took NyQuil. But I'm battling.
Barry's a little behind the scenes. Barry's a little sick. He's powering through this. We really appreciate it.
Razor Ramon and Henry Godwin.
Oh, my goodness.
My uncle.
Your uncle. Smoking, of course, Barry, honorary Godwin. Been introduced on the show many times as a Godwin.
The Heavenly Bodies. Week, right? Yeah, Heavenly Bodies. Dr. Tom and fucking Jimmy Del Rey. Gigolo Jimmy.
There's a contract being signed here. Jeff Jarrett's got problems with Barry Horowitz.
And they're doing a contract signing for fucking Barry Horowitz. This is why they almost went out of business.
Road Dogg here. The real star, not even using words.
Yeah. Barry Horowitz used to wrestle under Bret Hart.
Barry's going to sign that shit on the fucking ring. Oh, no.
Oh, wait a second. Bob Backlund signs it for the Intercontinental
title. He wants the match.
Yeah. He took the chicken wing.
I like that.
Oh, no.
I don't know what's going on storyline-wise, but Bob Backlund deserves it. I'm going to say that. Good move by sliding in there, getting the contract. It's official. I like how it's official for whatever reason.
And that, I mean, that's it.
That's it. And Barry Horowitz catching kicks for, I guess, not signing the contract?
But not signing it fast enough, I guess.
That's fantastic. Barry, what you think about that episode? Any thoughts?
It was cool. It brought back some nostalgia, some shit I missed. And Barry Horowitz was getting a little push here, which... inexplicably was short-lived. The man should have had the Intercontinental strap.
I think, like you said, like, to me, this isn't, like, super appealing stuff. It's the build to WrestleMania. It's cool to see LT. We all know that, like, you're going to hate me. That was what it was. LT got there, he performed better, but there's no, like, real heat. Nothing like that. Diesel and Shawn Michaels, the build-up's okay, but he's got the girls. You know, that's the coolest part about that. So, to me, like, this is meh. It was cool to see Brett and Lawler working on here. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a cool match.
That was the funnest part of the show. But this era of WWF, I'm just, like, not super into. So, it is what it is. All right, Barry, we have the Figs and Merch episode next week. We'll be announcing the winner of the Cassius Ohno giveaway. Anything else you want to get in this week?
Nah, man, just also be on the lookout for that outro coming out of that next Figs and Merch show from Big_Bane if Phil Venus hasn't attacked him and put him out of commission.
And I tell you what, they better not poke the bear on Bill Venus.
Breaker doesn't care. That, I mean, Breaker, he's going to get hit with the bionic backhand and smack his big ass right through the wall.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
You know? Breaker is like I think he's a self-defense instructor, but they haven't taught his ass nothing to stop the bionic backhand. You know?
All right, Barry, take us home, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening, tuning in, doing the watch along with me and Eric. You can follow me on Twitter at BFrost28. Eric, drop the credentials, sir.
You can follow us on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play by searching Doing the Favor Podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. We really support that. Really appreciate that. Best way to support us. Twitter, Instagram by searching at Doing the Favor as well. Thank you guys all so much for listening, tuning in. It's always a fun little thing me and Barry do. Go back and watch wrestling. It's kind of an excuse for me and Barry to watch wrestling together. So instead of, you know, might as well tape it. So we really appreciate it. Be on the lookout. We have some new things on the horizon. The marketing manager is taking control. So we have some stuff that we think you guys will be interested in. So just stay tuned for that. Other than that, thank you guys so much. And we really appreciate you guys tuning in.
Absolutely. Thank you to the marketing manager. Thank you to Eric. Appreciate you guys. With that, good night and God bless.
Peace.